If you smoke cigars, you better know this name. Cigar Craig's blog has set the net aflame. You can be sure Craig knows his stuff, with a new review each time he takes a puff. Learn about tobacco from the ends of the earth. Grab a cigar and get ready to herf. Brothers of the leaf, there's only one place to be. CigarCraig.com. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, this is Craig of CigarCraig.com. Welcome to the inaugural Cigar Craig podcast. I've been racking my brain trying to come up with a concept for this that hasn't been done already. Until I do, I thought I'd share the recorded questions that went with my interview with George Hamilton, currently the extra crispy colonel from KFC and star of stage and screen. I recorded this over the phone with him in 2010, on a landline, recorded on a cassette tape, and re-recorded it with a digital recorder. I never gave any thought to releasing the audio until now. So I can sound really awkward and nervous, which I was. I was talking to George frickin' Hamilton, of course. So here it is, uncut, my interview with George Hamilton from 2010 about cigars.
I know you were involved in the cigar industry at some point, and I know you were a long-time lover of cigars, and I just had a couple of questions that I'd written down already that I was curious about, and I thought my readers would be curious about.
Good enough. Go ahead.
All right. Now, do you still smoke cigars?
Yeah, I do. I have really great cigars that I've, collected over the years. I don't think cigars get better with age. I don't believe that.
Hmm.
I think you can preserve them for a long time. And I've had some very old pre-Cuban cigars that were still hanging on, and I've had a lot of Dominican cigars and Nicaraguan ones and even Jamaican the Jamaican ones were during the war. And they were, preserved well. So I kind of always have had a collection of great cigars, and I don't smoke every night anymore. I do it on, my brother likes it, I like it, I find it's a way of, for me, when I'm thinking about something, I've got something I really have to in-depth think about or ponder, I take a cigar, or when I have a meeting with someone where it's going to be 45 minutes of business, I choose well the cigar, and I try to choose well the person I'm going to smoke it with.
That's excellent. I agree with you on that. It's a fantastic answer. Now, you had the Hamilton's Cigar Lounge in New York, New York, in Las Vegas, which I had the pleasure of visiting on several occasions, and there was also the Hamilton's Reserve Cigars, which
right. I had two lines of them. I had one made by Upman, and I made one by Davidoff, in effect, for the Kellner.
Kellner's, yep.
Uh-huh. And then I developed my own line, which was called Hamilton House, which was a blend of Dominican with Nicaraguan, perhaps stronger tobacco that was really quite good from the old Somoza fields. And I did this in the Dominican, and I think I, at that time, was fairly accomplished at not only appreciating a cigar, but knowing why I appreciated it.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm planning to get down to Nicaragua to visit a factory in the wintertime, and I'm looking forward to that, seeing the whole. Process, and you enjoy a cigar, you don't realize that how many hundreds of people's hands touch the cigar before you get to it.
Right.
And it's an amazing art.
It's not the cigar as it is the tobacco. I mean, what goes into the actual tobacco, the filler and binders. The binder is another thing. That's grown, in a different way, really, and. It is an enormous amount of times that the hands are touching it, and It's incredible to see them torcedo make a cigar properly and crimp it and book it right. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, and there's nothing worse than a cigar that's badly rolled.
Oh, you can say that again.
I just, you know, when they're ditched and they burn and you know, quickly, and it's not. You feel it. You can feel a cigar. I can look at it now. If you stand it on its ash, you know it's been pretty well rolled right.
Now that brings up an interesting question that I just thought of. It's not on my list. You mentioned standing it on the ash. There's a current trend towards short, fat cigars, 60 ring gauge, and I've seen some manufacturers, you know, brag about them, you know, standing it on the ash like that. It's just interesting that you mentioned that.
Well, I can do it on a, you know, Panatella. I mean, anyone that's right, it'll stand on its own ash.
Right.
It's after you get about at least 3/4 of an inch to an inch, you should be able to stand the cigar on its ash in an ashtray. I mean, it's something I like to look at a cigar. I mean,
sure.
I like the feel of it, and I like to look at it, and I like the way it, you know, I like to see the combustion ring and look at the magnesium and see how white a ring it is. And, you know, it's, you can smell a cheap cigar across the room or these days across the street, you know, because there's nothing worse than a cigar that's made with cheap tobacco and green tobacco. You can, the minute you take it in, you know, I can smell it a mile away, but
sure.
Once in a while, someone will give you a cigar, and it's a fooler, and you go, oh, my God, why am I with this person for 45 minutes with this cigar?
Now, I remember back in the 90s, there were bad cigars all over the place. I not finding as many, I mean, except for cheap cigars, but I think there's a lot of really good cigars around now. How do you feel about the Cuban embargo and how that affects things now, and how the possibility of it ending would affect things?
Well, I think that the Cuban tobacco, just by the nature of the tobacco and media wealth, the Bajo area. In Remedio, in that area, some of the most wonderful cigar tobacco I've ever seen, and I know for a while they made their Cohibas from there, and other Castros people rolled from that kind of those farms in that area. Tobacco is so personal that it has to be. You have to know the farm. You know, you have to know the people, and you can get consistency by going to the same people, knowing, you know, their land, and if it's been rotated, and if the land has been worn out, you know, and Cuba has incredible tobacco, always has, and it's not, you know, it's not to say that we don't have it in, I mean, Connecticut broadleaf binder is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has stretch and give to it and feel to it, but the Cuban, and they use it in Cuban cigars, but the Cuban tobacco that they have is so incredibly good and so unmistakably Cuban,
yes,
that if you have ever smoked them, you get used to them, and it's a sad loss not to have them. There are many wonderful cigars made in the Dominican. There's great, again, in Nicaragua, the old Somoza fields had incredible tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Cuban seed tobacco that was wonderful, but the Cubans are unmistakably Cuban, just as a great bottle of Lafite or Latour or Chateau Cheval Blanc or Haute Brion or one of those Petrus come from a specific piece of land, and you know why that wine is great. Not to say that California hasn't got great wines and isn't getting better, but the price of it has put them out of, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense what we're charging for a lot of the wine. So now I think the art of anything is to find out a price that you can live with, that suits your habit and suits your pocket. And Cuba will come in with cigars. It only costs about 85 cents or so to roll that cigar. Mm-hmm. Maybe $1.30. I don't know what it is now. But they retail these cigars for $30 and $40 in some places.
Have you ever been to London?
Out of that, you know. But at some point, we're going to, the embargo will go. The Cuban cigar, when there was no embargo, was still a great cigar. It wasn't just the idea that it was impossible to get. It was because it competed worldwide as one of the great cigars. And it's unmistakable. It's an unmistakable, you know the difference when you smoke a Monte Cristo II or an Epi. Or you know when you have, there are 10 or 20 brands of Cuban cigars. I've had them in England for periods of time and enjoyed them. And the British loved them. And the Spanish had better selections of them. And they had it in Switzerland for a while because of the
attack situation.
Their help to Cuba when there was an embargo.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, anybody that's a cigar smoker, when they go out of the country, invariably will try a Cuban cigar. And if they have Cuban cigars, they know why they match up.
Exactly. I have been fortunate to have sampled many Havana cigars, and yeah, they definitely have a flavor that appeals to me.
Well, there's not many I haven't sampled, you know, over the years, and there are some that, I mean, we think that the tobacco is strong, and it's all how it's blended, and the there's cigars from Cuba that are incredibly soft and mellow, and there are others that are very strong. I mean, someone who's never had a Monte Cristo II Torpedo Figurado says their eyes will roll back in their head.
Oddly, the last one I had, which came from an English friend who sells cigars, was very, very smooth, complex, and delicate. I was surprised by it. It was rather a shock. I was expecting.
Well, that's right. And there used to be two great guys in England, Damien Sauter and then Edward Sahakian.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys had the best cigars in the world. I mean, the best selections of cigars in the world. And they had ones that were even pre the embargo that I tried. I was always amazed at their cigars. Nothing I ever had measured up to those two fellows' sellers.
Wonderful. Smoking bans. How do you feel about this whole smoking ban? And you're in Florida, so there's some places in Florida that are proposing some pretty crazy restrictions and, you know, state hiring and whatnot. Obviously, California started it out back in the later 90s. But
California is the one that actually destroyed the smoking. And interesting enough, the governor smoked cigars, I think, probably still smokes them.
Mm-hmm.
And it had crept in, and it was and it spread like wildfire across the country. I think that you know, it's to me, there's no doubt about it being carcinogenic. There's no doubt about alcohol being bad for your health. There's no doubt about, but it's all in how you do it and the frequency in which you do it, I believe. And I think people should have that choice in their lives, what they want, what they do. I think you can't live by, I mean, I want to be informed and make my own decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean to say that an addict can't be cut off. An addict should be cut off. I mean, that's something that you have to come to, and you do everything you can to see that people don't drink and drive. But when it comes to cigars, I think they've been around a long time, and people survive to a very late age with them. And I think it's a decision made by the individual and shouldn't be taken out of their hands. But I don't disagree with the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some could argue that the sun's rays can be carcinogenic.
There's no doubt about it. There's nobody who's more. I'm informed about the sun. I know all about it, and I'm probably the tannest white man in America. I made that choice.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I had about exhausted my questions. One other question that my wife was asking me to ask is there any truth to the rumor that you may be putting a show together with your two sons? This will be off of the cigar
interview. We had that going, and then my older son doesn't really want to do it. He likes being an actor, wants to do that, doesn't really want the invasion of privacy. It's a strange thing. As you get, as an actor, you think at the beginning you want to be a movie actor, and then you go through being a movie actor, and then you get used to being a public name and people know you, and then all of a sudden, when it goes away, then you think, my God, I want it back, and so you fight back to get it. And then all of a sudden, you start to think, you know, it doesn't really matter as long as people are nice to me just for who I am. Then the reality shows come up, and then they try to cook up such incredible storylines that they're not necessarily true.
So far from reality.
Seeing a reality show with things that my son felt would be invasive and not accurate, and so he basically didn't want to do it. And my little boy, he didn't seem to care much. He just thought it'd be a nice idea, but he doesn't really want to be an actor. He wants to be a Marine.
Nice.
And I kind of think, well, that's probably true. I mean, I've been an actor so long. My life is sort of public. And why put a spotlight on it and degrade yourself this late in life?
Great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
And my cigars have always been a passion, and I love them, and I have great wines that I love, and they are only an adjunct to my life, you know.
It's, sure.
It's amazing how, you know, I believe in dieting. I believe in cutting back on calories and all those things as you get older, health-wise. But is another thing that's terribly important is that there's a balance in your life, and that you see the humor in the in the tragedy, and that you get a hold of some sense of freedom in our government's proposed to clamp down on everything we do. It's
right.
You can't live by those laws.
The nanny state. The nanny state. Big brother. Yeah.
Right. Well, take care and say hello to your wife.
Well, I will. I thank you very, very much again. I apologize again for the time mix up, and I look forward to getting in touch with you with this interview.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you
very much. You have a great night.
Ah, so George knows his stuff about cigars, doesn't he? You know, it was funny, I alluded to it at the end, his people had told me that he was in Nevada on Pacific time, so when I called him at the arranged time of 3 o'clock, I thought it was, it was actually 6 o'clock, which was, he was in the same time zone I was, which was kind of embarrassing. He was just getting home and said, let me call you right back, I got my key in the door, so he called right back, which... you know, he was very gracious, and a lot of people of his station and his celebrity would have been, hey, you know, you screwed up, you didn't show up on time, and I would have blown it. But no, it was all good. He was great to talk to. Super nice guy. Loves cigars, and I hope you enjoyed it. That's that wraps up the first episode of the Cigar Craig podcast. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Cigar Craig. You can find Cigar Craig on Facebook. You can hit CigarCraig.com, find my email address on there if you need to get in touch with me, see what else is going on. And thanks for listening. And until the next time, I'm Cigar Craig.
If you smoke cigars, you better know this name. Cigar Craig's blog has set the net aflame. You can be sure Craig knows his stuff, with a new review each time he takes a puff. Learn about tobacco from the ends of the earth. Grab a cigar and get ready to herf. Brothers of the Leaf, there's only one place to be, CigarCraig.com. Oh yeah.